Thank you indeed. Thank you, Ciara, for that. Now, before we continue, by the way, I just wanted to give you another opportunity in case that you missed it earlier on to that very serious situation in Newbridge Garda Station. Well, actually, maybe I'll do it after we do a bit of music, because we have messages coming in. We want to mark a very special anniversary today. The death of Bob Marley, the famous reggae singer, 40 years ago. I cannot believe it that he died all of those years ago. And a listener earlier had said he was for justice, he was for fairness for all, a just society in regards to that. So indeed, I didn't realise, by the way, also that he had so many offspring, because I've just been checking up there. And there's Ziggy Marley, Rita Marley, Damien Marley, Stephen Marley, Cadella Marley, Roan Marley, Alpha Blondie. Well, maybe they're not all offspring of Bob Marley. Maybe they're just all people who know about the famous singer, indeed. Incredible individual that he was. And died on this day, 40th anniversary of the reggae legend. His rich anthems of struggle and peace, discontent and hope still reverberate globally, especially in his native Jamaica. It's been four decades since his death. It was a longer period than the reggae icon's brief but potent life that skin cancer ended when he was just 36 years of age. But his voice lives on in the voices as the voice of the dispossessed, spirit of protest and moral zine. Great, great songs indeed that include I Shot the Sheriff. That's not the one we've picked for you today. But anyway, the great Bob Marley, I thought we should indeed, as one of his sons said, it warms my heart to see people from around the world coming together to celebrate my father's music. So let's hear from Bob Marley then, who died 40 years ago today, with Three Little Birds.
About it.
You heard it from the great Bob Marley. Don't worry about a thing. Everything's going to be all right. Should be an anthem for the times that we're in. Born Robert Nesta Marley on the 6th of February 1945. He died on this day in 1981. He was only 36 years of age. By the way, do you remember, I wonder if there's anybody out there who was there, he performed in Dalymount Park here in Dublin in 1980. And by the way, for a guy who was 36, he was quite busy on, if you like, the social gymnastics scene, because he had 11 children. 11 children by the age of 36, including Sharon, Cadelia, Ziggy, who's also well known on the music front, Stephen, Rowan, Julian, Kaimani and Damien. Busy man was Bob. He once played, by the way, to something like 110,000 people at a gig in Italy, and he has sold 75 million records worldwide. I wonder, did all that money make its way down to his family? He was posthumously honoured by Jamaica soon after his death with a designated Order of Merit by his country. In 1994, he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Rolling Stone has ranked him number 11 on its list of 100 greatest artists of all time. By the way, I wonder who are the 100? Well, guess. I'll give you a guess. Who are, can you name? Try this now as a little example. He's ranked at number 11. Can you suggest the names of those who would be in the top 10 greatest artists or bands of all time as listed by Rolling Stone, which is the Bible of the music industry, if you like? I'll give you the details shortly, but now I want to touch on a topic that hit yesterday when Provident, which is the country's largest moneylender in this country, licensed moneylender I should say, ceased issuing loans, has announced it will cease issuing loans. It says it'll honour loans already applied for and approved, but it's getting out of the Irish market. That will of course hit many of those on the lower incomes. To tell us more, indeed, is regional manager with the Money Advice and Budgeting Service, which deals, counsels and advocates on behalf of many people who will be in this particular aspect of the credit service. Michelle O'Hara. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Clem.
Thank you for joining us again this morning. Now, in terms of Provident pulling out of the market, maybe get a little overview of what they did. They tended to loan to those in the lower socioeconomic groups. Is that a fair comment?
I think it is, Clem. So, generally speaking, their product was door-to-door, which was convenient to a lot of people. So, your loan would be arranged and the weekly pickup, let's say, of the repayment amount, you'd have an agent calling to your door to do that. So, they made it quite convenient, I suppose, in that way for people to arrange loans, and they did seem to target the lower income families and that type of thing. And what we saw over time was the fact that you'd have almost like whole communities, Clem, been involved in this type of lending. So it was quite convenient for a lot of people, for
but
a
also,
variety.
Also, Michelle, very expensive, because
these people,
begs the question, if some of these licensed money lenders are charging up to 200% interest with an average of 180%, I find it difficult to explain how it lost 87 million euro last year, because the typical interest charge is between 86% and some of them even up to 288%. And according to Charlie Weston in the Indo yesterday, 380,000 people have engaged with these type of money lenders.
Right, yeah.
Not the way to go, is it, Michelle?
No, and I think, look, what we would always say is that sometimes people are hit with poor credit records and different things like that, or they think they are, Glenn. And this is where we would say to people, well, hang on a second, you potentially have other options to look at. And As you may be aware, there's a central credit register there through the central bank, and basically all personal and business loans are recorded on the central credit register, and the financial institutions every month will say, well, Clem paid his loan this month, but Michelle didn't pay her loan this month. It's not a credit scoring, but every lender who's giving you a loan of any more than, I think, 500 euros is obliged to look at this, and they might look at it and say, oh, well, look, we'll give the money to Clem, he's all right, but Michelle's missed a few things there. She's not as safe a bet. But the key is that, first of all, do people actually know what is recorded about them on this in terms of where they have defaulted and so on? Each of us are entitled to apply for our own record free of charge.
We are, Michelle, but the problem is, and it's not a problem in, we're entitled to apply for the record, but what many people out there don't seem to realise, if you have a loan from any lending agency and you miss payments of that loan or there's any difficulty, you end up on this database, which might say you're not a good credit risk. And as a result, people then find it difficult to get money from the traditional sources, whether it be maybe the banks in particular, maybe even the credit union or whatever.
Yeah.
But just to point out again, Provident, according to its website, was charging interest of 157% up to 187%. Now, what does that mean in numbers? If you borrowed 100 euro from Provident, you pay them back anything between 130 and 156 euro. I mean, these are extortionist interest rates, but legal.
But legal, absolutely legal. So legal money lenders, the name suggests they are licensed, they are regulated by the central bank. I think looking at the list last night on the central bank website, there's over, I think, 30 of them there listed. I don't know how many of them are in operation, so there's a considerable amount of them there, Clem. And they are perfectly legal, and with the figures of 380,000 people, as Charlie Weston has said, applying or availing of this type of credit shows that there was a market for it, Clem.
All right, let's actually just refer to the central bank, which you've referred to there. And Owen, you've been checking on the central bank in terms of these licensed moneylenders and how that process comes about.
Yeah, so there's quite a lengthy piece on the central bank website for people who want more details. But just to touch on what Michelle has been saying there. So a money lending agreement is defined in the CCA as a credit agreement into which a money lender enters or offers to enter with a consumer in which one or more of the following applies. So the agreement was concluded away from the business premises of the money lender or the business premises of the supplier of goods or services under the agreement, and in the negotiations for or in relation to the credit were conducted at a place other than the business premises of the money lender or the business premises of the supplier of goods or services under the agreement. Repayments under the agreement will or may be paid by the consumer to the money lender or his representative or at any place other than the business premises where the total or cost of credit to the consumer under the agreement is in excess of an APR of 23% or such other rate may be prescribed. Now, money lenders do not include the following: credit unions, friendly societies, credit institutions, hire purchase agreements with an APR under 23%, or mortgage lenders. If we go then to money lenders license, money lenders that are authorised by the central bank are issued a money lenders license. The license sets out key information about firms, such as its maximum permitted APR and the cost of credit, its terms and conditions, and any restrictions that have been applied to the firm's business model. A money lender's license is valid for a 12-month period and must be renewed annually prior to expiry. Okay. Now, people can just finally claim, go on to the website and there is a list of the register there where you can get more details about all licensed money lenders authorised by the central bank.
And that's the central bank's website. The problem here, Michelle, now, of course, is with Provident departing the market, and we don't know how many of those other 30 money lenders are listed. We're talking about a doorstep service. There is another darker element that many people might now turn to, those individuals who turn up on your doorstep who are not licensed and often charge interest rates far in excess of what the licensed ones would charge. And indeed, we can end up in situations then where people get loans churned over continuously and eventually get intimidated.
It's a big concern that this is an area that people may turn to. And in MABS, obviously, that's something that, we will support people with throughout this entire process. So what we would say is that the illegal moneylenders are exactly that. They are illegal moneylenders, and we would ask people to not consider it as an option at all, to please reach out to MABS for your advices on what can be done, what you can do, how we can support you, what other supports are available, Clem. That is what we would encourage people to do right now, and not to consider any illegal money lending paths.
And have your contact details for your service, Michelle, that people could
absolutely
turn to?
Absolutely. So we have a national helpline, 0761 07 2000. That's open 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday to Friday. And alternatively, we have local offices, and you will find your local office by going onto mabs.ie for the list of your local offices. And I would encourage everybody in this situation, please reach out to us for the cost of a phone call, for picking up the phone. Just talk to one of our money advisors and see what other options are available to you, please.
All right, okay. Mabs.ie is the website. Oh, and you might dig up the local numbers there, and we'll give them to listeners in a couple of minutes' time. Meanwhile, Regional Manager with Mabs, Michelle O'Hara. And by the way, just to leave you with this point on the topic, the average interest charge of a credit union might be around 12%. Mm-hmm. And in much more favourable terms, if you engage with a licensed money lender, you can be paying up to 187%. Think yep. about that. And if you engage with the criminal, unregulated element, well then, you might be putting yourself in physical danger down the line. So stay away. Mabs.ie, and you will get all the advice and help and direction that you need there. Michelle, thank you indeed for that, and good morning to you.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
Okay, get your pen if you want that number from Mabs, because that's coming in a moment. Also, we're going to take a virtual walk around Kill, and but before all of that, we'll hear from Sergeant Martin Walker on those dramatic events that occurred in Newbridge Garda Station last night. We brought you that at 9:20 this morning. I'm going to give you a second chance to hear it in case you're just joining the programme. And meanwhile, I asked you to, if you had any idea who might be among the top 10 entertainment acts of all time, according to Rolling Stone magazine. But first, some messages. A listener says, what happened to the travellers in Longford? They were fined €3,000 each. The father of the bride, or the groom, one of them anyway, the groom himself, the guy who supplied the tent, and the caterer, a local food outlet, €3,000 each, and they had to apologise to the court and have to lodge that money, I think, in the next week or so as well. Councillor Angela Feeney, whom I mentioned earlier, says Mullen Park Phase 1 home buyers contacted her today saying they were told today that the water is expected to be connected tomorrow or Thursday, and he said as soon as it is done, they'll start calling people for final snagging of the houses, so they won't get in there for a while yet. Mick and Kyle Dove, I'll come back to your message in a moment because it's quite long. Another says, good morning, Clem. Just wondering, can anyone associated with government shed light on what's happening with the dental pandemic that is arising in Kildare? Geez, one pandemic at a time might be enough. I don't know about the dental pandemic. What's the scenario behind that in regards to your message? Apparently, it's countrywide, you say, with dentists not accepting medical cards anymore. Must find out more about that for you. We'll see what we can do. And one good thing about music, when it hits you, you feel no pain, said Bob Marley. And one of the listeners says, and this is from John Hickey in Old Court of Thigh. Good to hear from you again, Johnny. He goes for Queen, the Beatles, Rolling Stones and Bruce Springsteen as contenders in the top 10. I wonder about that, because another listener went for Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis and the Beatles and Rolling Stones. I think you might only have one or two of those. I'll give you the top 10 according to Rolling Stones. The top 100 artists of all time would be in as follows. The Beatles. In number two, Bob Dylan, who's 80 this month, by the way. We're all getting old, folks. Elvis Presley, number three. The Rolling Stones, number four. Chuck Berry, no less. Rock and roll man. The great Jimi Hendrix at number six. James Brown, who died there a year or two ago. And Little Richard at seven and eight. Aretha Franklin at number nine. The only woman in the top 10, by the way. And Ray Charles is at 10 with Bob Marley, the Beach Boys, Buddy Holly, Led Zeppelin, Stevie Wonder, Sam Cooke, Muddy Waters, Marvin Gaye, The Velvet Underground and Bo Diddley comprising the top 20. I would take issues actually with some of those, but anyway, that's for another day. Owen, those phone numbers, please.
I'm surprised that Queen and Michael Jackson aren't in the top 10, yeah. Maybe not even in the top 20, yeah, there, so yeah. Interesting ones. The numbers then, we have two MABS offices in Kildare, one in Newbridge and one in Kilcock. So if you have your pens ready there, we'll go with the one in Newbridge first. The number is 076-107-2600. So 076-107-2600. That's the number for the Newbridge office, and then in Kilcock it's 076-107-2590. So 076-107-2590, and there's also an email address for the two offices, so it's just the same email address, and that's kildare@mabs.ie and mabs, M-A-B-S, so kildare@mabs.ie is the email.
And the website is mabs.ie if you want to find out those numbers again. Now, earlier this morning, just after we opened the programme, we heard from Superintendent Martin Walker of Newbridge Garda Station about a dramatic incident that was life-threatening and certainly potentially life-changing, which occurred in Newbridge Garda Station and the general area last night. Let's hear that again. Serious matters here, because apparently you had quite an incident in Newbridge Garda Station overnight, did you?
That's right, Clem. Yeah, we received a call just before 9 o'clock of a man acting suspiciously down near Lambeth in Moorfield, in that he had filled up a container with petrol. Now, a short time after that, Clem, he actually presented at the Garda station, didn't engage in conversation or anything at all, but he was carrying a detergent spray container, you know, that particular type. And in one hand, and then in the other hand, he was carrying a cigarette lighter. And as I say, without engaging in conversation, he started to spray the entire public area of the Garda station at Newbridge, and also onto his hands, which was very worrying. Two probationers, actually, they immediately ran around and they confronted him. And at which stage, then he sprayed one of the guards, and he tried to set him on fire with the spray of the petrol and the lighter. But fortunately, between the two of them, they were able to subdue him, and he was subsequently arrested. A 29-year-old man, homeless man living in the area of Newbridge, and subsequently he was brought to the Lakeview unit, where he is technically still in custody under the provisions of Section 4. And I'd imagine that later today I'll be consulting with the DPP with regard to what charges, if any, to be preferred against. But you may recall a few years ago, back in the 21st of July 1999, Andrew Callanan, a lovely sergeant up in Talla, and in circumstances not totally dissimilar from this, he died as a result of burns received when he was set on fire with petrol at the station there. So very, very potentially dangerous to the public, to the individual himself, and to members of an Garda Síochána. So I'm delighted it came to a peaceful and quiet end in the end, Clem.
Indeed, Superintendent Martin Walker and all of us absolutely delighted as well. What could have been just so tragic indeed. And when one considers, by the way, the Gardaí had to put themselves in the line of fire so often, and yet the Gardaí weren't prioritised in terms of the vaccination. I mean, many people would take issue with that, given that Gardaí have to deal at close quarters with so many people on an ongoing basis. So well done to those two brave young probationer Gardaí last night at Newbridge Garda Station on preventing what could have been a conflagration that could have killed either the individual in question or the Gardaí, or certainly caused them life-changing injuries.
Know Your County, a virtual history walk.
In association with Kildare County Council, kildare.ie or at Kildare Heritage.
Right, let's put on your wellies or your boots because we're going for a virtual walk around the lovely village of Kill, and we await that link between the village and the great Muhammad Ali. Our contributor and our guide around Kill this weekend is Mary Coyle.
There have been people living around Kill since the Stone Age. We know this from objects such as the Kilwarden Stone, which was found just north of the village in the 1980s. This stone contains decoration such as the spiral carvings on the stones at Newgrange, which have been dated to at least 5,000 years ago. The Kilwarden Stone is currently in the National Museum of Ireland, where it takes pride of place on the ground floor. Above the village, on the top of Kill Hill, is a vast Bronze Age hill fort, which still can be traced in the field boundaries there. Archaeologists investigating in advance of the widening of the N7 northbound some years ago found several Bronze Age burial urns as well as traces of Iron Age settlement. The village itself takes its name from the Irish word Kiel, which means church, and so we can be sure that there's been a church of some sort here in Kiel since early Christian times. So where better to begin our tour of Kiel than outside the St. John's Church of Ireland in the middle of the village? The present church is probably built on the site of the first church in Kiel, which was taken over or rebuilt when the Normans came to Kildare in the 12th century. The church has many interesting features, including its unusual half doors and its organ dating from the 1700s, which has its black and white keys reversed. A stone font now outside the door probably belonged to an earlier church on the site. Behind the church and at the back of the Glendara housing estate is the moat of Kill. This is probably the site on which the Norman de Hereford family, who were granted the lands around Kill, erected their first fortifications. This may, however, also be a much earlier burial mound, and I should also mention there is a strong tradition in Kill that several of the kings of Leinster are buried there. The names of 9 of these chieftains are mentioned in the ancient annals, where it is said they're buried at Kilcorban. Heading southward from the church, we pass some new houses which were built on the site of what was probably the location of the village green in the Middle Ages. We then come to a single-storey building which used to be the site of the guard station. This was originally an RIC station and would have been the base from which an RIC patrol set out in August 1920 to travel to Naas, but were ambushed at Green Hills, where 2 of them were shot. This happened during the War of Independence and the station was later burned down. However, it was subsequently rebuilt and used as a Garda station until its much-lamented closure in the last few years. We will now cross over to the Dewdrop Inn. This is sometimes known as Lady Mayo's Inn and was supposed to have been modelled on a similar inn somewhere in England. Early photographs show that it had tea rooms at one side of the building. Returning northwards along the main street, we pass the high wall on the left, behind which is a house which was originally a school. It began as an Erasmus Smith school. The original Erasmus Smith was a cavalry commander in Cromwell's army, who later in life regretted the violence he'd been involved in. To make amends, he left a large sum of money in his will to set up schools for the education of poor boys and girls. In 1824, there were 24 boys and 26 girls attending this school, of whom 30 were Catholic and 20 were Protestant. At the side of this building is a lane which used to be known as Ard's Lane. Mr. Ard was apparently the teacher in the school. He is supposed to have been the first man to own a penny farthing bicycle in the village. On the other side of the lane is a large building which was known as the dispensary. The local doctor and nurse operated from there and served the medical needs of the locality from the 19th century up to the late 1980s. The site is now vacant. Further along we come to the Old House pub. This pub has a long history going back to the 18th century. It would originally have been a single-story building with a thatched roof. It was raided and ransacked by the Black and Tans, and a number of local people were assaulted in retaliation for the shooting of the RIC men in 1920. The sign outside the pub today says that it was built in 1794 and rebuilt in 1943. The rebuild took place after a disastrous fire and the pub was set back from the street line at that stage. Beside this is another lane which originally led to Strafford before the building of the Nace Jewell carriageway. There was a forge down this road and the river nearby was used to cool the iron hoops of the cartwheels before they were hammered into shape on a shoeing stone which stood on the banks of the river. There is a story that in the 19th century the Empress of Austria, who often stayed and hunted in the locality, lost a shoe from her horse after a jump and had a new one put on at the forge. There's also a story that on that one occasion she brought two local boys with her to Vienna, where they got positions in her court. Many years later, they came back to Kill, but found great difficulty in communicating with local people because, at that stage, they only spoke German. Next on the left is the People's Park, which is the site of the old parochial house in Kill. Beside it is the Catholic Church of St. Bridget, which was built in 1821 and is celebrating its bicentenary this year. It was built 7 years before Catholic emancipation and during the pastorate of Father Daniel Nolan. The church is mentioned in the memoirs of the famous Fenian John Devoy, who was born in Kill in 1842 and whom Padraic Pearse described as the greatest of the Fenians. The church was extended and remodeled in the 70s to deal with the rapid increase in the population of Kill at that time and has served the spiritual needs of the parish well over the past two centuries. Next to the church is the old National School building with its quaint Gothic windows. This school was built in the 1830s and served the educational needs of the parish until the 50s when a new school was built. Next to that was the schoolmaster's house. One of the most famous of our schoolmasters was Liam O'Flynn, a well-known Gaelgeor and collector of folklore and traditional music. His son, Liam Og, became even more famous as a member of the well-known folk group Planxty and ultimately as Ireland's foremost Uilleann piper. We've had many other famous people in Kill over the years. For example, after the Second World War, Ernest Lyons from Hartwell won the famous Isle of Man TT Trophy on a motorbike which he built himself. In the 1960s, a young boxer from Kill, Colin McCoy, represented Ireland at the Olympic Games and probably would have won a medal had he not come up against an even more talented young boxer from the US called Cassius Clay, later Muhammad Ali. Also in the 1960s, we had Pat Taffier, who became world famous as the jockey on the invincible racehorse Arkle. While in recent years, the tradition has continued with the talented Walsh family, Ted, Ruby, and of course Katie, one of the groundbreaking new breed of women jockeys. No Kill person will ever forget the millennium year of 2000 and the fantastic homecoming with the Walsh family when the wonderful Papillon won the Grand National entry, with Ted as the trainer and Ruby as the jockey. What a day that was for Kill.
Know Your County, a virtual history walk.
In association with Kildare County Council, kildare.ie or at Kildare Heritage.
Now, I want you to pay attention for just a moment. By the way, I was at that homecoming in Kill back in 2000. I can't believe that was 21 years ago. I was only a bucolog in short pants at that stage. Colin McCoy, who fought in the Olympics in 1960 and came up against Cassius Clay, as he was known then later, Muhammad Ali. Where, I forgot to ask Mary, where is Colin McCoy now? 40 years, is Colin McCoy still alive? And if so, we'd love to hear from him about that particular experience. Now, I want you to listen to this. Mary Coyle, she's a local historian, as you'll gather there. She's a member of the Active Retirement Group. She set up a bereavement group in Kill. She was involved with the Tidy Towns Committee. In fact, she was the first woman worker with the Kill Scouts, or mentor, call it what you will. And I've asked her for permission for this. She is 77 years of age. And that woman is still flying, I can tell you. And a great example, as all our other historians are as well. Loved that, by the way. And the little stories, the great Liam O'Flynn, what a piper. Feature him on Keolaga's Kind often on Tuesday night. But I'd like to find out about Colin McCoy. And she mentioned there Ernest Lyons from Hartwell, who won the famous Isle of Man TT trophy on a motorbike he built himself. Remember a short time ago, we spoke with Ernest Lyons, was it his sister, who was over 100 years of age, and she's still living independently and full of the esprit de corps and the joy of life and everything else. And she and Mary Coyle are just absolute examples that they're in the golden age indeed. After the break, we have more. We're going back to the Clane Municipal District. We'll catch up on some of your messages, but first, Owen.
Yeah, just to touch on what you mentioned there, Clem, Mabel Lyons is who we spoke to. She was in her 100th year. And Ernest Lyons, who died in 2014, he was 99. He was in his 100th year as well. So whatever they're eating out there in Kill and the Lyons family, they live to great ages. And Mabel, still in, you know, the great of her health, really. So a fantastic family.
When we spoke to her that day, and actually Mary Coyle was telling me, Mary was out there that day for the birthday. Mary went out in the car, and they had balloons and everything else, and they were escorted by an Garda Síochána. And as they pulled into Mabel's driveway, the Gardaí turned on their blue lights and sirens and everything. And Mabel was in the joys of her life with her birthday party being commemorated in such a way. And the astonishing thing for us that day was Mabel's hearing was so perfect.
Yeah.
She could hear everything, you know, because often our audio will drop if you're at the other end of a phone or whatever else. Incredible woman. And what a great job done by Mary Coyle and the other woman in our history series, Breda Constantine, up in Selbridge as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mabel Lyons, I think, wasn't she one of the founders of the Irish Country Women Association?
She was indeed. Good man, Owen. Well remembered. She was a founder. So whatever's in the water up in Kill, it certainly does great things there. And once again, we're learning so much about that. And on Thursday, Liam Kenny is back to tell us about and take a virtual walk around Marvellous Maynooth. And we'll be uploading all these onto our website soon enough indeed. Well done, Mary.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
Okay, just going back to Mary Coyle for a minute. Mary had dropped me a handwritten note and it just struck me. Beautiful writing. Now, Clem is a scribbler. And Owen and Kira are always given out here when I might scribble out a few notes for them that they can't read it and this, that and the other, and they want things typed out for them, you know, the younger generation and that. But on seeing Mary's writing, I'm reminded of my mother, who's a beautiful writer, and she's 90 years of age. And my mother-in-law was a beautiful writer, and she died a year or so ago, and she was 98 or thereabouts. But that generation, and indeed maybe younger than that, in their 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s, beautiful writers, we've lost that skill, haven't we? Do you remember those of you who would have gone to school in the way back when, the last century, as Clem would have gone to school? And remember how we used to have to practice our writing in primary school, and they had those red lines and blue lines, and you had to get the small letters in between the blue lines, and the red lines on the page, the capital letter had to touch the bottom and top, and you linked the writing together, and you leaned on your pen coming down, and you were light on your pen going up. The light lines. Oh, I must come back to this topic of writing in our school days and how that particular skill is gone. It seems we've touched a note on the topic of the dentist, by the way, because a listener says, Clem, there's no dentist looking after patients in Newbridge. Twice I had to go to the dental hospital in Dublin, as I can't get to see a dentist. My gums were in a bad way after having cancer, and I need a lot of dental work, but I can't get a dentist to treat or refer me. A prior GP gave out to me for ringing him for an antibiotic. I ended up in Tallaght Hospital the same night. Wow. Okay, it turns out to be true, Clem. What you read about dentists not taking medical cards anymore, that will be very sad. And the social welfare giving a grant to people moving into new council houses is much needed. Right, the council has introduced a 4 weeks rent deposit to be paid in advance. That's a different topic altogether. Good morning, Clem. Would you be able to play Alistair Fingleton's lovely new song for me, please? I miss you more every day. Caroline Wall Dixon. I haven't a clue. I'm totally ignorant, Caroline, of who Alistair Fingleton is, but maybe Owen will fill me in about that later. Patricia Ryan TD's office has been inundated with people who can't get a dentist under the medical card scheme. There's a similar situation with GPs in South Kildare, says Noel Connolly, her parliamentary assistant and councillor indeed. She submitted parliamentary questions last week, which have been referred to the HSE for answer in the next 10 days. Well, let us know when you get the answer. And finally, for the minute, morning, Mr. Ryan. I always remember one day in school many years ago. No, I wasn't teaching you in the typing class. And I always remember you saying, when you're typing, don't look like a demented rabbit. It might have been Mrs. Ryan said that. I'll hold my hand up, totally innocent. Very funny, and I've always remembered it. You're typing like a demented rabbit. Okay, I tend to write like a demented rabbit. Councillor Nisho Carroll, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sam.
And welcome up. How's your writing?
I have joined up writing, would you believe, Clem? I think my generation as well were taught well how to write, I'd like to think.
But you're only a youngster.
I'm 31, I'm 32.
Yeah, a youngster, as I said. But I'm of a generation where we had to write between the red lines and the blue lines, and those little copies they used to give out
we
to us.
We had them as well.
Did you really?
We did, yeah.
Oh, I thought they were good.
Because I went to a grade school, Pianodoracht, so what would that be, penmanship?
Penmanship, yeah, Pianodoracht. Yeah. Lovely, wonderful. I'm just struck by the writing, the beautiful writing of older people who correspond with me here rather than using the emails or whatever. Anyway, Nisha O'Carroll with that lovely Anam Gaelga, let's get right on to your motions. And we begin with, for example, you wanted a review of the pay parking in Maynooth.
Yeah, so the pay parking in Maynooth, a lot of people remember there was no pay parking in Maynooth, and we actually introduced it, it must be 4 years ago now, and it probably wasn't the best example of the pay parking working well, to be honest. But it is without it's not without its hiccups. And there have been some issues, particularly for residents living in the town centre and the back lanes. And look, what I'm looking for is the commitment was given when we passed the bylaws that we would review them within 3 or 4 years, and that has not happened. And what the council said is that other areas need to be reviewed. Well, to be honest, this isn't really a request from me. This is actually something that we committed to when we enacted the bylaws, so therefore it's something that the council should be carrying out and consulting with local people.
All right, and you want the council to examine how Maynooth, Main Street Maynooth, can be used throughout the summer months for on-street dining and pedestrianisation. So important now.
Yeah, look, Maynooth is, we're very lucky. We have a lot of lovely restaurants, bars, etc. And the thing is, utilising the space that we have to its capacity. At last month's full council meeting as well, I raised the issue of the need for temporary toilets, not just in Maynooth, but throughout the county. You know, we've had this debate around the bins and the need for bins, etc. I spoke to you last month about it, Clem, but also it's inherent now that there's a need for toilets as well. It's not good enough that people are going around the side of buildings after having their few takeaway pints and relieving themselves. It took a lot of difficulty to get rid of the public toilets throughout the country, funnily enough, because they were eyesores and they weren't being used. But just with this new way of life, this new outdoors way of life, with takeaway drinks and takeaway food, etc., we need to ensure that we are, you know, ensuring that people can go to the toilet in a dignified and safe manner. So the council said, look, nothing here is ever going to be ideal. I ask that they look at potentially port-a-loos, for example, but then they need to be cleaned. And then separately, maybe even Dublin City Council, for example, are utilising their public buildings, so their libraries, etc. Would that be a suitable use of public buildings? I don't know. But I'm asking the council to look into it further, okay. And I do think it's something we need to look at.
And if you would, briefly, Nisha, is Maynooth going to apply for heritage town status? I can't think of any town. I can't think of any other town who'd be more deserving of that, given its history, as we'll hear, by the way, from Liam Kenny on Thursday.
Yeah, and Liam obviously writes a lot about Maynooth in the Leader as well, and some interesting pieces. But just around the heritage town status thing, funnily enough, it's actually a tourist invention. By Bord Fáilte, there never was kind of official heritage town status. Well, there was, but it was by Bord Fáilte, so it's kind of a funny one, but I'll be in touch with them. And just one last thing, Clem, before you let me go, is I have another motion at full council looking for, you know, Dublin bikes?
Yes.
Essentially Kildare bikes. So utilising the Greenway from Kildare into Dublin, so people could use it as a commuter route, and that you would use hybrid bikes so that anybody, essentially most people, would be able to cycle into Dublin. It's 25k, but with these electric bikes it makes it a lot easier. So this is something the council is looking at as well. It's about being innovative. I think it comes back to the point of making, we need to start thinking outside the box post-pandemic.
All right, great stuff, great idea, I think. That's Fianna Fáil Councillor Nisha Carroll on the Clane Maynooth Municipal District. Some quick messages, Clem, as long as I'm listening to you, I never knew you were married. You learn something new every day. Well, okay, right. And he's a singer from Castle Dermot, that individual we mentioned earlier on. He wrote that song about his late father. Lovely song, lovely singer. Support local talent. Think you will enjoy it, says Trish Proctor in Castle Dermot. And we certainly support local talent here on the station, featuring various singers and stuff like that. And don't forget, Owen has a great music show, The Irish Music Scene, on Friday nights as well. We'll catch up on a couple of other of your messages, and our poem of the day is a very famous one right after this.
KFM's Reflection Time Out.
All right, would I please say hello to my sister-in-law, Anne O'Brien, Nee Ward, originally from Osbertown in Naas, now living in Melbourne, Australia. She'll be listening to the walking tour on your app with great interest, as she worked part-time in the Oster John Devoy for years, and that came from Angela in Clane. So indeed, hello Anne O'Brien. A good morning in Melbourne, or is a good night there actually at this stage of the evening as well. A listener says, NCT in Naas yesterday morning and we had to queue in the heavy rain for 1 hour to check in and pay. Only one receptionist working. Please mention this on air. And finally, another says, moneylenders are essential to many households as Custer's last stand. Stay a million miles away from them if you can, and engage with MABS and the credit services. Right, I was deciding what kind of a poem. And by the way, I could ask listeners again, if you'd like to nominate your famous poem, and also if you'd like to submit any poems that you've written yourself, send them studio@kfmradio.com. Email them, studio@kfmradio.com, or post them. One of the poems that has struck me over a lifetime is a great poem by Walter Eyre. It's called The Listeners. And you know what? I'm actually quite out of time. I'll bring it to you tomorrow. Okay, because I won't do it justice if I read it now. It's a poem that, for some reason, really struck a nerve with me. It's a great poem of mystery, and I'll bring it to you tomorrow. I guarantee I'll do that. Thanks to producer Owen Beatty and indeed Kieran Noble for their contribution this morning. And of course, without yourselves, the audience, we'd be talking to ourselves and we'd be in need of therapy in regards to that. A Newbridge listener who sent in an email called Headline Copy. I can't make any text on that particular one. John Dunne is up next with the 11 to 2 show. Have a great, great day, but stay safe. Keep your social distance, wear those face coverings, and wash your hands. Let's go to Ciara Plunkett in the KFM newsroom.